Blog Talk Radio.
John Talk Radio. We have a special guest on the show today. This is our June 26th show. Margo, welcome to the show. I think we have Margo Ray on. Let's see if she's...
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Margo, yeah. Hi. How are you?
Oh, okay, I was talking. Here I am. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
You know, it's one of those things where I had to hit a button, and that always gets me. John has to hit the right buttons. But thank you. I really appreciate you joining. I know you're busy, and with the new single out, I just want to say it's just an awesome single. I mean, we opened the show up with it. You and I have talked before, and I think that people have that follow this show have listened to the first interview we had, and you talked a lot about how you got started in music and your love for music and how that it's a big, huge part of your life. Talk about how this single, what it means to you, because there's a lot to it. It's a very positive song. It's a song of hope. And to tell you the truth, Margo, there's a lot of songs out there today that aren't songs that are encouraging and uplifting songs. Why did you choose to go this route? And then were you pleased with the way the song came out?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I'd be happy to answer that. Thanks for the kind words. I don't know, more than a few times in my life I've been in a situation where a conversation didn't go exactly how I wished. And, you know, I wish me or both of us had taken the high road. And, you know, it's something that I've learned from my mom. Sometimes it's kindness is a better way to live than trying to be right all the time. You know, or you can have your opinion, but you don't necessarily have to convince someone else. I mean, everybody's entitled to their lens, you know. And I presented this song with John. We've written a number of songs now and actually still working on some new ones. And I said, I think I read him the first few lines of the song. Last night's conversation running through my head, a silent meditation of what we should have said. And, I like that. And so at first when we started writing, and of course we just write with a guitar and try to come up with some cheesy drum beat that we can just use as a metronome while we're writing, just to set a tempo. It was a bossa nova originally, and the more and more I listened to it, I was like, yes, okay, I love everything about it. I like it melodically. I like where it's going. I just have to change this groove because that's not really what I feel. So I messed around in the studio with my friend Chris Wabich, who's a drummer and a friend of mine, a collaborator, and Elton Ahi, who I've engineered and co-produced all of my latest music with, and in LA, and we wanted it to have a very current sound, but obviously the message, you know, being a pretty current and timeless theme, I hope. I mean, I think there's always going to be hope for the higher road. I don't know. The older I get, I feel like it's better to be kind. You can always get your point across, but be kind about it now more than ever. So many people like to hide in their computer virtual world and hate on people. And you know, that doesn't really serve anyone, I don't think. It just raises your blood pressure and messes up your mind, and it hurts other people. You know what I mean? I mean, what a waste of time to sit there and just hate. It's one thing. I think you can just get more work done by being kind. You know, it's a better example anyway. And I'm not trying to be pedantic or get off on this soapbox. It's just when the song unfolded, we were like, wow, this is actually a bigger message than just between two people having, you know, a lover's quarrel. You know, it's kind of a good shift, a good way to think of the world through that lens.
Well, I totally agree. I think it's
that way.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, your talents that you have, and, you know, people use their talents many ways, Margot, but it seems to me like, you know, your effort was to make this a positive impression in society, and you can do that through music, and I think it's an amazing thing, because a lot of people won't listen, it can even come across subconsciously, because you can tell people, well, you know, it's not nice. You're talking about like trolls on the internet, people that are mean and try to, you know, I've told my kids and my wife, they do it on purpose. It's don't go into that, you know, they're trying to do that. That's their whole reason to do it. So just stay, you know, yourself and stay positive. No, and I think that's something that I just want to say thank you for doing that, because we need more of that right now. We really do. We need more artists. We need more musicians. We need more people that have, you know, the talents that you have to get the positive message out there, so people can understand that. Because, you know, that is a very heavy message, never too late, because there's a lot of things that can go on in your life and you can give up. But, you know, I'll have to echo what you were talking about, Margot, when you're saying, you know, you were getting, as you get a little older, you start thinking about that. And that's really true with me. It's like, is it worth it, you know, to hold on to that stuff, you know, and it just isn't. So talk about how for the listeners, the John you're talking about is John Oates. And when you and John Oates got together, now you have worked together before, and I know that I think it was Let It Rain that you did before together. Is that correct?
Let the Rain, but yeah, and
Let
the
the
song's
Rain.
called Saturn Return. Yeah, everybody calls it Let It Rain. I think it just rolls off the tongue that way. But it's to finish the phrase, it's Let the Rain Wash Over Me. That's why it's called Let the Rain. But yeah, he's just such a generous artist and composer. His favorite thing to do is to collaborate, and I am so lucky that's the case. You know, he heard my music many years ago when we were first introduced, and Let the Rain was the first song we wrote together. He had crafted some lyrics based on, crafted some chords, excuse me, based on some of the music he had heard me perform, and it was as if his, it was as if what he had already had was waiting for my melody and my lyrics. I read him the lyrics to Let the Rain, and he's like, whoa. And I said, I think I have something for those chords. And I just sang along, and it was perfect. It's like he already knew my melody, and it was the day we met. So what makes Never Too Late even more special is because this is the first song that lyrically we've written together. You know, in the past he's helped me craft a chorus, but still get my own lyrics and my message across. With Saturn Returns, you know, is all about being in a, Saturn Returns is another song that we wrote, being in a point of your life where you're questioning everything. And that's what happened to me when I was diagnosed with cancer. And he said, actually just 4 days before I met him, and he said, oh, well, this has to be your story. So he was really great about helping me put that song together. But it was definitely my lyrics. So it was Never Too Late. We wrote these lyrics at the same time. It was, I brought him the last night's conversation, you know, the first verse. And then together we wrote the rest. And that meant so much to me. I got to write lyrics with John Oates to be alive, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think in many instances he might lend himself as a song coach or a song crafter, that he takes the idea of the artist and helps you hone it in the right way. But this is truly something that we, that came out of both of us, lyrically and musically and melodically. And so that was a nice milestone for our writing together. I'm more excited about writing more stuff with him. We have a few more songs in the works.
Oh, I can't wait. How easy is it for you, Margot, to write songs, not only write songs, but to perform songs that are personal? And that, you know, you talked about, you know, cancer, and you've talked about relationships, and you've talked about that. A lot of artists won't go there because it's personal stuff, and they'll just try to go take a higher road. Has that always been an easy thing for you, and did you find that that's something that you just have to do because it's a part of your music, and your music is something that you're – like with your lyrics and your songwriting, it just expresses who you are?
Wow. Well, to answer the first part of the question, it's not a problem for me at all to perform a very personal song. When I was making my living as a jazz singer, you know, I had the good fortune of being able to sing some of the finest songs ever written, you know, from the Great American Songbook. And really dive into what those lyrics meant, and in the time of the year that they were written in, and how maybe shocking or risque or what they were actually describing in that climate of that era. And so my greatest love as a performer is to interpret a song and make it my own, and make it to where it happened to me. And then when it comes to writing songs, honestly, I just live my life. I can only write about what I truly feel and know, and I can only sing what I truly feel. So singing a really personal song is not a problem. It's whether I think that night or that particular show, if that's something that I want to put onto the set list. I mean, all my songs are very personal, but for example, I wrote a song called Roses. Now, the emotion is definitely there. It's not It's about a woman who takes, she exacts revenge on a man in a very, you know, in a fatal way. And I've never done that, of course, and nor have I really felt like doing that or like I would be capable of doing that. But I certainly have been harmed and mistreated unfairly by a member of the opposite sex. So I just kind of emotioned and wrote a little movie. I often say that my songs are like little movies. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and I try to write them about characters that you want to care about. And so even Roses, I totally sink my teeth into singing that song. I love singing it. I usually sing it at every performance because it's, and you know, the audience, I think they side they side with the woman in this one because this person, you know, was quite awful. I don't go really go into graphic detail about what was done to her. It's all very flowery and alluded to in a poetic way. But I definitely feel the emotion of that song, and I do love singing highly personal songs for people, whether I wrote them or there's from another songwriter, especially the ones I admire, you know, the brilliant ones that I admire.
Well, you made some great points, and things about songwriting I think is amazing to me. It's like, wow, that's a gift. And when I hear a song, Margo, when I listen to a song, one of the things that separates it from other ones is the fact that it's honest and it's from the heart. It doesn't always have to be something that I can relate to or I understand completely, but I know it's coming from the person that's writing its heart, and it's honest and true. And it sometimes that is an avenue that I think that a lot of artists don't take, and they should take, because if you try to craft your music to fit into a certain genre or to fit into a certain, you know, radio format, that I, you know, that's been successful too. But I also think that, to me, the music that stands out is the music that is emotional, and it is from someone's heart. And you know, from your experiences that you've had, your music is something that it's always going to be there. I mean, people can listen to it and they can share that feeling that you had. And I think that that's what happens, you know, whether a person can do that through, you know, painting or sketching or whatever. But I think, you know, you have an amazing talent to do that. My guest is Margo Rey, and you can go on her website, Margo Rey, margorey.com. Her latest release is Never Too Late, and that's available on iTunes. Is there anywhere else, Margo, that people can get download this?
It's on every, you know, internet music site that you can purchase from, Amazon, etc. Rhapsody, Spotify. There's so many. You can certainly listen to me on Pandora, on Songs, on Spotify. But the best way is just go to my site, margorey.com, and that's R-E-Y, M-A-R-G-O-R-E-Y.com. And that will direct you to, you can actually preview my music on my site, and it will scroll the lyrics for you while you're listening to it. I can keep you company while you're working. And then it can give you a link as to where to purchase my music. Thanks for saying that. That really means a lot to me. I find a lot of inspiration from songwriters who are brave enough to go there in a very bold and personal way, where the listener is actually thinking, oh, I wonder what, you know, they meant by this song. Like, for example, Fiona Apple. I mean, she could not possibly be singing about anyone else but herself, you know.
Yep.
That's what she knows, and that's what she is, and I love her. She's fierce. You know, she's very fearless songwriting and her performance. David Gray, a lot of the 1970s songwriters. I mean, even Stevie Wonder, who is one of my favorite of all time, wrote about what he knew, but he also, you know, it was always wrapped up in a very universal message as well. I feel like if I can write about my songs, if I can write about my life in my songs, and I'm fortunate enough to actually wrap that in a broader message that other people can relate to, then I've done my job.
Are there any topics or anything that you have strayed away from? Because I've talked to songwriters about that too. Because when the songwriting process is happening and they're starting to write lyrics or starting to write music, and they're thinking, well, wait a minute, that's not going to work, or that's a little bit too far this way or that way. Has that ever happened to you, Margo, or do you kind of like feel it and just let it go, let the process go?
Yeah, that's a multi-layered question. I think that there are certain topics that I don't necessarily always resonate with. Like, I rarely write anything political, but if something is really bothering me, that is my best way to get it out, is to write a song about it. And also, it also depends on what your goal is for that song. Naturally, if you want the song to just be your opinion and a story or of what you've experienced or what you feel inside about an issue, then that's fine, and you just want to record it and get it out. Or if your goal is to make that song a single on the pop chart, then naturally, or on the country charts, naturally the lyrical content and the style of the song musically will have to go in that particular direction. I rarely write about anything political, but I was during the housing crisis and during all of, you know, the too big to fail situation, I was really angered by that. I saw so many people that were really harmed, you know, a lot of my relatives and friends, and you would just see it every day. So I wrote a song that was on the last album, Habit, and it's called Plastic Karma. And it is, you know, there is no two ways about what the song is about. It's all about the greed and the carelessness and just the self-serving behavior of what we let things come to that caused the housing crisis, the bubble, and how no one went to jail. I love that song, and musically I tried to pattern it after, you know, kind of a Stevie Wonder, Higher Ground, Master Blaster way, because I really wanted a heavy funk group on it. And my band loves to play it. I rarely pull it out at shows, but I just started to do it now. And I think that's, like you were saying, because I was thinking, I don't know if people want to hear me get off on some housing crisis soapbox, but actually it's a fun song to listen to. It's not super preachy in the way it's wrapped in the music. So if anybody wants to check it out, it's called Plastic Karma. You know, the S is a dollar sign in the word plastic. And I'm really proud of it, quite honestly. The first verse is, were you there at the closing bell, and did you cry when the houses fell? Bundled and packaged, ready to sell, wielding your hammer and driving the nail. So it just, I don't know, check it out if you like it.
Yeah,
I really
do.
I think I have some great musicians play on it. So that was kind of a departure for me to write about something so overtly political. And again, you know, I wasn't trying to make it my next pop single either, but I did have to get it out. And fortunately, it's kind of a musician song. Musicians really dig playing it whenever I pull it out for different players. They're like, yeah, this is slamming. So that's good.
And that's got to feel good, too, when that vibe happens. Yeah. Now, Margo, when you write songs, who do you have someone that you bounce the songs off of? Like when you're writing songs like you just talked about, whether it's, you know, Never Too Late or anything else, or you're just starting to get it in your heart and your mind, you know, the lyrics. Do you have someone that you bounce it off of? Because I think that's also really important. A lot of people may not know that songwriters, you know, songs just don't fly out and, you know, splash themselves on the wall. It takes some work. Do you have somebody that will be, okay, this is good, this maybe a little bit of this? Is there someone like that? Or a group, maybe, of people?
Absolutely. People don't like showing unfinished work. Everybody's different about what they create, artists. Artists are all very different about what they create. Some people never collaborate. Some people won't show anything unfinished. I am the opposite of that. sometimes when I know I have a good idea, I think, oh, this is totally going to fly. So I have no problem showing bits and pieces of it to people whose opinion I admire. My best friend, Dee Dee, she was actually in my rock band when I was 16 and all the way through my like early 20s, we were in a rock band together called the Debs, and she was the bass player, and she's still my best friend to this day. And because we've known each other for so long and we have such similar taste and scope about music, it's our taste in music is extremely diverse. Our favorite thing to do is sit around and play new music for each other. So she is definitely the one that I always show ideas to first. She has sat in on every single mix that I've done. Whenever I'm mixing an album or mixing a single, I usually try to make it around a date where she can fly out, and she sits in on the mix. She has a great set of ears, and I love her opinion. And then my drummer, Chris Wabich, who's my collaborator, producer, co-collaborator, producer, musical director of my band. I love, showing him song ideas and seeing where we can take it. And I'm really lucky to have people like that, because as an artist, obviously, it has to be a safe place for you to do that.
Yep.
But also, you want the truth. You don't want someone to say, and Dee Dee can be really brutal. which is
good
great.
Friends are like that. Yeah.
Like,
oh,
yeah, but I think you should go more this way. Well, what are you trying to say here? I don't, how are you trying to make me feel? So she's really good at that. And we also have a really good friend named Shelley. So the three of us have been friends for a long time. And Shelley is John Q. Public. Like, she doesn't care. She doesn't want to get, like, too deep in songs. She doesn't want to get... She's all about, like, oh, it's got a good beat. Totally John Q. Public. Like, usually the songs that get overplayed on the radio, when you're like, oh, God, how can anyone listen to that? That's exactly what she's listening to in her car. And in many ways, she's a perfect person for me to bounce things off of, because she, she's John Q. Public.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you an idea
point.
Of how broad your song will reach. You know, if Shelley likes it, then you're like, ah, okay, this is good. It might be popular.
Well, Marco, it's been great having you on. I appreciate you taking the time to be on. And Marco's latest single is Never Too Late. That's on all the great download sites, and you can get it on iTunes. But go to Marco, to her website, MargoRey.com, and you can purchase it there. Is there anything going on? We got about a minute. Any other projects or things you'd like to talk about real quick, Margo?
I'm actually finally going to finish my Christmas album this summer. It was a 3-song EP for so long, but the success of This Holiday Night, which is a song that I wrote that became a top 5 hit, it was number 4 actually, has gone into its 5th year, and we recorded a Spanish version as well. I only recorded 3 songs back then because I was in the middle of recording another album and also touring. So I'm actually finishing and making it a full-blown Christmas album this summer, and it will be out obviously by holiday season time. I'm also touring. Right now, my next show is actually more local. It's in Santa Barbara, California, at Soho in Santa Barbara. It's a great venue with a great stage, good food, and a fantastic sound guy. So you're in for a real treat if you see my show there. And that's about it. Just my husband and I are building a new house, and that's kind of been exciting this summer. So it's almost finished, and we'll be moving in next month. And that's always fun, but extremely time consuming. John? Hello?
Yeah, and Margo, thank you so much for being on, and I appreciate you. It's always great talking to you every time we talk. I really enjoy it and appreciate it, and the best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and have a great day.
You too. And thanks, everyone, for listening to John Talk Radio today, and Just tune in. We'll be on Saturday night with Billy Grima. So everybody tune in for that. And everybody have a great Friday.
Fall like honeydew, a beach upside.